Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and this is Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. So my show's purpose is to, in fact, be two things, really. One is to help people on their mindfulness journey, and the other is to be an opportunity for mindfulness itself. So I hope if you can, in this next hour, you'll allow yourself to take time to just concentrate on the show. Maybe you have a notebook in case I say something that resonates with you, where you'll really allow yourself the opportunity to relax, to pay attention to what's happening for you, how you feel in your body, what your mind is doing. Relax into this moment and allow yourself to find places in your experience that resonate with today's topic so that you gain a deeper understanding of yourself as you become a student of your own mind. And so that second purpose is supporting people on this journey towards greater mindfulness. And mindfulness is bringing our attention and awareness to the present moment without judgment. Again, one of those things that I say in the intro sounds very simple. I'm here, I'm paying attention to now without judgment. I find, be the trickiest part. So it's a simple but a difficult one to achieve continuously throughout the day. And why do we do it, though? What's the purpose of achieving greater mindfulness in our daily lives? And I think the primary goal is to create greater inner peace, right? And it seems to me that no matter what's going on in our lives, that the world around us calls for as many of us as possible to have greater inner peace so that we can be a greater force for peace in the world, bring peace into the world. And I think that's a very worthy aspiration for all of us. My idea for today's show, now that we're within a few days of the election, was to talk about mindfulness practices we can use and employ to stay calm, awake, and aware, to be at peace. But if you're anything like me, while the desire to be more peaceful, a more peaceful presence in the world, especially right now, is greater than ever, the challenge is also greater than ever, right? I can't open my email without seeing, honestly, each day I'll bet I get 30 emails about the election. And they went from, hey, the election's coming, let's vote, everything's going to be great, to now the message is they've changed strategies and it's very fear-based. It's things are going to be terrible. You know, it's trying to motivate me through fear, which I'll be honest, isn't very helpful for me. But it's all around me. It's I don't know anybody I read on my Twitter feed who isn't talking about the election. My Facebook bubble is full of people I love and admire and respect, and all of us are talking to each other, trying to bolster each other, I think, but maybe also kind of freaking each other out a little bit more than we intend. So I am going to talk today about practices we can employ to achieve greater mindfulness and things we can be thinking about in these next few days to take care of ourselves so that we can be have more inner peace and bring more peace into the world. But also I'm going to talk about a particular stumbling block that I've noticed in these last few days. And that is the habit of judgment that I have towards people with whom I disagree. And I think that is a place where we're going to concentrate some attention today to think about what can we do in the face of that particular habit, if you have it. But those are always tall orders on Nothing But Now. And a great place to start when you have things you're trying to accomplish is with your breath. So we're going to do a breathing exercise to start the show, and I hope you'll join me. And I'm going to excuse myself for a second because I can feel myself having to cough. So do that instead of doing it while we're breathing. So we do this because bringing attention to our breath is calming. It helps us to focus our minds. It brings clarity even. And the goal in this doing this particular practice is to pause at the top of the inhalation, to make the exhalation slightly longer than the inhalation. And we're going to use a particular practice from mindfulness educator Lori Cameron called three deep breaths. And in that first breath, we just notice and pay attention to the sensation of the inhalation and the exhalation. So how does the breath feel coming into the body, and how does it feel exiting the body? With the second breath, we try to pay attention to any place in our body where we feel tension and relax. And then in that third breath, we set our intention for this moment. What do we need right now? My intention is to be calm and clear. What's yours? So here we go with three deep breaths. First breath, just pay attention to your breath. Second breath, notice any place you feel tension and relax. And third breath, set your intention for this moment. Thanks for joining me with that. So when I first decided to devote today's show to preparing for the election, I did it with the idea, as I said, that this close, it might be hard to manage the input of news through the television, the newspapers, through social media. It's pervasive in all those places. It's a little bit hard, in fact, to find somebody, a comic strip, a funny movie, anything, where there isn't some connection to the election. I thought it would be, I might be in a place where I was struggling to be relaxed in my body, to really notice tension and let go of tension. I thought it might be challenging to be in the present, to acknowledge feelings of fear and anxiety and allow them to pass through me rather than holding on to them and getting myself internally really jammed up with those feelings of fear and anxiety. I thought it would be hard to quiet that habit of letting an inner dialogue with someone with whom I disagree dominate my every waking moment. And I was right about all of those things. All of those things have been a challenge. I'm excited about the election because, you know, I grew up in a family where voting was really important, where talking about current events was everyday dinner table conversation. These things mattered. It was really in the air all the time. And so elections are exciting to me just by their very nature. I was raised in a family of people, who many of whom are veterans. And so that close connection of our conversation about what it means to be a citizen, why it matters, that was all very much a part of our daily life. And so elections are, to me, an inherently positive opportunity, a very exciting moment. But I'm also scared. Like a lot of people, I'm scared. I'm aware that I don't know what's going to happen. And of course, I never know what's going to happen, right? From this moment to the next, I never know what's going to happen. But most days, like most people, I kind of proceed based on the illusion that I can somewhat take for granted the next 10 minutes, the next 10 days. And so this particular election, I think, has made me extremely aware of the idea that I don't know what's going to happen. And it's hard then not to engage in obsessive thoughts about what might happen, right? That kind of catastrophic thinking that is an old habit for me. And you want you to be thinking about, as you are getting closer to the election in your own life, what are some things that you're noticing about how you're, what are the kind of the places you fall back into when you feel as though you aren't in a moment of mindfulness and mindful, non-judgmental awareness of the moment? Where are you? Where is your head? Mine tends to be in that fearful place about what might happen. And if I think about it, you know, I realize it's that desire not to be caught off guard, right? I can say, and I truly believe, and I work or try to relax every day into the idea, you know, that I'm the ocean, I'm not the waves, right? And the ocean's not afraid of the waves. The ocean is big and expansive and can tolerate and withstand the waves. But some days I am the waves. I don't, and I realize in those moments what is happening is that I'm trying to, is that in some respects I'm shutting down, right? I'm putting my guard up. I'm covering myself over with all sorts of metaphors for being on guard, being protected, protecting myself from what might happen, because I don't want to be caught off guard. And I somehow think that if I can do that, if I put up enough of a guard, I'll keep myself safe. But that's kind of an illusion too. Just like the idea that I can predict the future or know what's going to happen next. It's not true that I can simply guard myself enough to never be hurt, to never be surprised, to never be at risk. So while obsessive thinking about what ifs isn't helping me, there is a place for paying attention to myself and identify what I need and what I can do to prepare for peace, prepare so that I have what Jack Kornfield calls a steady heart. And so that's what we're going to talk about after the break, is what can we do? And we only have a few days left, but I want to think about this in terms of as we get closer to the election, the day of the election, the days after the election, what can we do? What can we notice about ourselves? Not in an obsessive loop of fear way going through our head, but in a practical way. What can we know about ourselves in order to be prepared so that we can have a steady heart no matter what comes? So that's our conversation after the break. I hope you'll join me. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Daniel from intuitionwisdom.com.
And I'm Dr. Pat. We've got something super special. What a generous gift. Wow.
It's time to discover who you really are, and we're offering a free intuitive reading on our website at intuitionwisdom.com. All you got to do is take the step to become one with the universe, and the life purpose is that bridge. So please come to our website, intuitionwisdom.com.
That's intuitionwisdom.com. Life purpose unlocks abundance.
Has your kindness been used against you? Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person proof. Join toxic relationship specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit sarahkramsey.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. So we're just a few days from the election. I know 2020 has seemed like the longest year in modern history, but we've finally made it. We're in sight of at least something that is going to be important for all of us. And so let's talk about how do we bring mindfulness to that moment, to this moment, the days leading up to it, because if you're like me, you may already feel a certain amount of tension. If you are like me, you might be anticipating you're going to feel more tension or a different kind of tension after the election. So it's not going to sort of end at, 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning. And I'm going to talk about why that's particularly true this time. But I think that for me, what I've had to think about is preparing. There is the staying open and present to the moment of being the ocean and allowing whatever's going to happen without creating an enormous amount of internal turmoil, because I don't think that helps the world around me for me to be in turmoil. It doesn't improve my decision making. It doesn't make me smarter about the issues. It just makes me unhappy and upset, and I project a lot of that out into the world. So I think there is a real place for preparation, and some of that comes from self-knowledge. What do we know about ourselves, and how can we use that knowledge to be ready to have a steady heart, to have it now, but also to have it later? So here's some things, and I do this in part this year because 4 years ago, I wasn't thinking about it this way, and the election was a big blow to me, and I really shut down afterwards. I felt as though I was in kind of a deep hole for several weeks, and I'm not interested in doing that again. So what am I doing instead? Well, one thing I'm doing is that I'm reminding myself, look, I have a prop. I almost never have props. I voted. Yay. And I live in Washington State, and I am so grateful to live in Washington State. This is my second election here. And once you're registered, all the information in the ballot comes to you in the mail. And so that's been really great. So that's one thing I do, is that I remind myself that I've already voted. I've already made a decision. So then I can say to myself, when I see an article or a news report or a post on Facebook, you know, I've already made up my mind. I don't need more information at this point, because if the information is specifically about the election, I'm done. That part of it. I'm not in a place to be persuaded, and I don't need to be reinforcing the decisions that I've made, because I'm comfortable with the decisions I've made, and I've made them, and I'm going to go track them online later today, but I'm confident that my vote's going to get counted, and I hope you are too, and I wish everybody lived in a county like Pierce County in the state of Washington, where we had 47 places, 47 boxes in Pierce County alone, just one county in the state of Washington, where I could drop my ballot. So if you've already voted, then you might ask yourself those questions too when you see the posts and the news articles and the comments on Twitter. Maybe you don't need to see them. Maybe you don't need to attend to them as much because you're done. And if you haven't voted, I hope you have a plan, right? I hope you've figured out what you're going to do that day, because the lines might be long depending on where you live. And the people are saying, bring a lawn chair and a snack, right? Be prepared. And I'm so grateful to and admiring of people who are standing in line for hours to vote. I don't think they should have to, but I think that I certainly admire them for doing it. My partner and I are talking about what we're going to eat on the day of the election. And, you know, we started, as I've noticed this, I've had conversations with other people. People kind of joke about, well, all I really need is, a bag of chips and a bottle of gin or something like that. And we started on that path of, should we order pizza, or what should the chips, the cookies, that kind of thing, what we might think of as comfort food. But, and I'm kind of at that age where I realize I'm going to feel really icky afterwards if I do that. So, well, I'm going to make vegetable soup because I'm a total nerd, and because I like vegetable soup, and because if I eat something calm and yummy and nutritious, then I can also have some chips and cookies and whatever, but not a bottle of gin. But I don't have to, in a way, to go for those kind of comfort foods, that old habit of mind that I have about food, soothing my anxiety, soothing my fears. First of all, it was never true. It was always an illusion. Second, I'm at an age where I'm just going to feel that much worse afterwards, not in a guilt sense, but in an actually upset my tummy sense. And finally, I enjoy nutritious food. It feels good as well as tastes good. And I can still have some cookies afterwards, right? But I'm planning it. I'm thinking about it. I want to be prepared. I don't want to make a silly decision at the last minute. Here's another one. You like my sweater? Gosh, I hope so, because I'm probably going to be wearing it for weeks on end. It's cashmere, and I got it for about $20 at a discount store because there's a big hole in the sleeve that I've never bothered to repair. But it's warm. It's comforting. I can wear it under other things if I need to be warmer. I like it. I like the way it feels. I like the way I feel when I'm wearing it. And this is my blue sweater is my friend. And, you know, we don't, many of us working from home, it doesn't matter what we wear that much. So this is a time, that kind of comfort of taking care of yourself, of being physically comfortable. And when I'm physically comfortable, I'm more relaxed in my body. And then when I'm more relaxed in my body, I'm more relaxed in my mind. And when both of those things are happening, I'm more at peace. I'm better able to be the ocean, withstanding the waves. Finally, in this getting ready phase, and certainly the day of, I'm reminding myself, and from a frame point or a framework of acceptance, that I will not know many outcomes on the day of the election. I just won't know. I just won't know, and neither will you. There will be questions, there will be uncertainty even after the election. So we have all of this build up, all of this tension as we get ready for one day, but we know, we won't know. And being angry about that, being frightened about that isn't gonna change anything, right? Writing to my congressional representatives, being aware of the laws in my state. There are a lot of things I can do to be an intelligent citizen about the election, but freaking out and being angry because I'm not going to have clear, concise answers on the day of the election is not helpful to me. So my day of plan, in addition to knowing what we're going to be prepared to have a decent meal and good night's sleep the night before, because maybe we'll be up late, we don't know. I'm going to pay attention to all of the races that are, and all of the issues and candidates that are important to me. Like I said, I grew up in a family where we didn't just pay attention to the local election or just the national election, but to elections in neighboring states and counties and other places. There are a lot of elections throughout the country, governors and senators, congressional, all the congressional representatives are up, right, that I'm aware of and I'm thinking about. And I'm going to pay attention to, at some point, to the results in all of them. And I'm going to do that because there will be wins and there will be losses. And that's part of an acceptance strategy, right? I'm not going to have all the outcomes initially. I'm not going to have all the outcomes I'd like to know the answers to on the day of. And I'm also not going to feel good about, I'm not going to agree with every single decision that's made. I'm too interested in too many of them for that to be a possibility. But I'm not just going to pay attention to the losses. I'm going to pay attention to the wins. And I'm going to acknowledge the fear and the sadness I might feel in the face of the losses. And I'm going to allow myself to feel hopeful in the face of the wins. I am going to give myself permission to feel both, to allow both to pass through me, right? They're both, feelings, they're impermanent, but I'm not going to dwell on one at the expense of the other. So another thing I'm going to do in that day of is manage my news intake more carefully. Last time I shut down, and I meant that in, that's somewhat literal, right? In the sense that I closed off news apps, I stopped reading and listening to the media for about 4 weeks. That was part of the hole I was in. And you know, there was nothing wrong with that. It was a perfectly, okay decision to make. But it was interesting the way it was, there was a kind of backlash to it too, because it changed my habits. Right, I had a habit of being aware of the news, of paying attention to the news. And suddenly I cut myself off from all of it. And instead of that making the election and the outcome sort of recede in my mind, of course, it made it front and center all the time. So I'm just going to pay a little bit more attention and have a little more nuanced response to the whole thing. And I'm going to notice what about myself that I'm happy to dwell on facts. I'm happy to notice facts about outcomes in the election, trends that people observed around voting. But what isn't helpful to me is the second guessing, is the person who comes on the news 24, 48, 72 hours after an election and says, well, here's where the losing candidate went wrong. That doesn't help me. I don't feel better in the face of that. And then it creates this cranky, angry dialogue in my head. And I'm now suddenly I'm all wound up in it again in a way that's absolutely unhelpful, absolutely unproductive. And so I'm going to manage the kind of news and the kind of information that I take in the days after the election. And I think this is really important, of noticing wins as well as losses, acknowledging fear and sadness as well as places for hope. For instance, one of the places that I feel hopeful is not only the number of people voting, but people talking about how they vote. So for me to talk about how great it is in Washington and other states where we can mail in our deliver our ballots to a box in the county or mail them in where it's very routine and it's very well managed, maybe that'll get people in other states talking about why aren't we doing it that way, right? So those for me will be places of hope regardless of outcomes. But as I said, there are those places that, despite all of my planning, places where I feel very confident that it's I'm going to be have a steady heart. I still have that spot where I wake up or struggle to go to sleep, or I wake up or notice in the middle of the day that I'm having a dialogue in my head with someone whose politics are very different from mine, whose reactions are very different from mine. Probably a conversation I'll never have in real life, and I get stuck there. So when we come back from our break, we're going to go on a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about that phenomenon, and then we're going to talk about what to do in response to that phenomenon, okay? So I look forward to seeing you after the break. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the Energy Paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The Energy Paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and I've been talking about what things that you might be doing to bring steadiness to your heart in these days before the election and the days after the election. And really, for me, it has come down to knowing myself, paying attention to maybe past behavior. How did you react after a previous election? What were some of the ways that you dealt with it, and what would you change? For myself, I have to pay attention to information that I consume because it can really bother me or upset me or send me down a kind of whirling path of unhappiness or frustration or anger. I also have to take care of myself in kind of a physical way. Careful about sleep and what I eat. I don't want to make decisions that make what will inevitably be a challenging situation difficult. And why is it inevitably difficult? Because we probably won't know all of the outcomes right away. And no matter what the outcomes are, it's very unlikely, if you follow more than a couple of races, that you're going to be satisfied with every outcome. And so it's helpful to think, if that's the case, right? If I want to, the idea of Byron Katie's idea of loving what is, right? If I want to be in a state of acceptance, if I want to have a steady heart, I'm going to acknowledge that I may feel hopeful in some places, fearful in others, but I'm going to be truthful with myself, honest with myself about that, and be prepared so that I don't get carried away by overwhelming emotions, emotions that inevitably will pass unless I get myself ground down in them. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. I don't want that. I've had it happen before. I don't like it. I don't think it's useful. But one place that has over and over again been a little bit of a stumbling block is these conversations I have. And I've always been a person who rehearses conversations, sometimes in a productive way. How would I say this? How might it work out, et cetera? But oftentimes in a not productive way. And it just, like it's a loop, you know, when a song gets stuck in your head. I sometimes feel as though conversations with particular others get stuck in my head. And this election season has brought those to real awareness. So even as I'm thinking about making vegetable soup and as I'm wearing my favorite sweater, I'm also having a kind of an angry dialogue with people in my life. So if this is something that you notice, let's talk about that for a minute. Maybe you would think about, and if you've got a notebook, write it down. You know, let's be journalistic about this. Who is it? Who in your life, whose image comes to mind that you have those dialogues with? For me, it's a family member in particular, but I think, maybe, I don't know, does everybody do this? Sometimes it's public figures that people I do not know, but I would like to have a few words with, right? So there's that who, and I want to notice with whom am I having these repetitive conversations? What are we talking about? Right? What am I trying to persuade them of? What are they trying to persuade me of? When is this happening? Is it when I'm trying to go to sleep at night? Is it in the course of the day when I'm doing an activity to which I could bring my full mindful attention of time and place, and instead of washing the dishes to wash the dishes or making the bed to make the bed, am I doing this activity and my mind is 100 miles away, 1,000 miles away, having a difficult dialogue with someone whose politics are different from mine? And then why? Am I trying to persuade? Am I afraid of being persuaded? This is, I think, what can get, what we want to begin to notice is, I think these dialogues are often fear, and well, they often look like anger, but anger so often is covering up fear. So what am I afraid of? Am I afraid of people who maybe will take my rights away? Yes. Am I afraid of someone I love not understanding that a position they take puts me at risk? I don't know if that's fear. I think maybe that's actually genuine anger, but or sadness. Maybe what I would say is more truthful as I say that out loud. I think it actually is sadness and hurt. And it raises a question for me sometimes too, of if I feel as though or observe that they don't understand me, where am I missing them? Where am I not understanding them? Because I certainly am not understanding them. And I think as I as I'm doing this exercise and hoping that you are doing this exercise, to kind of break it down a little bit of who are these dialogues with? What are we talking about? When is this cropping up in my daily life? Why is this happening? What am I trying to protect for myself, et cetera? One of the things we might be noticing is that while there are sometimes the person you're having the dialogue with has the opposite point of view from you, if we put your ballots side by side, they'd have all different responses, all different bubbles filled in. But sometimes it's people with whom we might have very similar political points of view, but their way of engaging with politics is very different. And so why is that troubling? Why am I having that? Am I just so in that why question? Am I justifying my behavior? Am I trying to justify it to myself, right? With whom am I really arguing when I'm in the midst of that internal dialogue and conversation? So two other things I want to say about this. On the one hand, I think if they are particular others, like real people in your life, it is sad, but it is the case that not all of those gaps can be bridged, right? There's a flurry of articles in these last few days about married couples who have opposite political points of view. I don't know how people do that. One person said, well, we hadn't really talked about some of these issues before we got married, and I just couldn't relate to that, but I suppose that happens. So they didn't know how different they were. But I am accepting of this idea that not all those bridges can be crossed, and I'm okay with that. But that doesn't mean I can't do this other thing, which is a meditation of loving kindness, or what is called in Buddhist circles a metta meditation. So it's M-E-T-T-A, and it's a great thing to Google to learn more about. And Sharon Salzberg is a woman whose work in Buddhist philosophy is really, really helpful. And so you might look for her work around this. And it's a kind of meditation where we direct an attitude of loving kindness towards ourselves first. It's a little bit like concentric circles. So we start with the self, and then in sequence of expansion that she writes, towards somebody we love already, a close friend, a significant other, then somebody towards whom we are neutral, maybe people with whom we work or in the greater world that we come in contact with in our daily lives, and then somebody with whom we have difficulty, and then ultimately toward all beings everywhere without distinction. And I just think that's a beautiful image of those concentric circles. And she writes, I use the word concentric, starting with the self, remembering Jack Kornfield's words that compassion, which is another word for loving kindness, compassion that doesn't include the self is incomplete. So it's important to start with ourselves. But she also says it's a concentration meditation. And by that, she means that anytime we meditate, there is the opportunity to be distracted. Our knee itches, we think of our to-do list, we hear a sound in the distance, something distracts our attention. And sometimes in meditation, a certain kind of meditation, when our mind goes in a different place, we might follow it for the purposes of noticing. And we've talked a little bit about this in past episodes. Where does my mind go in those moments of meditation? And I can learn quite a bit about myself from that. But in a concentration meditation, the goal is to keep coming back to the object of meditation. And so in addition to these concentric circles, self, beloved other, neutral other, person with whom we have difficulty, and then all beings everywhere, we want to keep bringing ourselves back to that. But we do it by invoking a particular phrase. And if you read someone like Ruth King's work on meditation, she has a great chapter on meditation. And all the different things that we might say. And some people go through a kind of list of things, and some people kind of boil it down to one thing. And they tend to be phrases like, may you know peace, right? May you be well. And so every time we are doing this meditation, starting with the self, then we get distracted. Instead of following that distraction and noticing where our mind goes, we return to that place of may you be well, may you know peace, may you be well. May you know peace. And you know, it can be hard to do this kind of meditation towards the self. It can be easy to do it towards someone whom we love. It can be not terribly challenging, maybe unfamiliar, but not necessarily challenging, to direct it towards a neutral other. It can maybe be almost too easy to say towards the whole world and all beings without distinction. But for me, the two hard places are directing it towards the self and directing it towards someone with whom I have difficulty. And in both cases, I think it's for the same reason. That's, for me, where the distractions are most likely to pop up. And it's really in that sense of, yeah, but, right? May I be well? May I know peace? And that's when the inner critic shows up to say, really, do you deserve it? Really? I'm not so sure, right? And with another person, someone with whom I have difficulty, it can be very challenging, because to even think of that person is to put myself often in that place of conflict with that person, even if it's only in my mind, of going back to those dialogues over and over again. But of course, that is actually what makes this meditation so powerful. And Salzberg has this great comment. She said the non-concentration meditation is intended to be one of great knowledge about ourselves, of really learning about ourselves. But of course, she says this is kind of a sneaky self-knowledge meditation, because it appears, in a sense, on the surface, to often be about others. But what a great opportunity to learn about ourselves as we try to have an attitude of loving kindness in this concentrated, focused way on someone with whom we have difficulty. Someone who we believe maybe does not respect or see us as we need to be respected and seen, or think that we do. So this is a strategy that I think is hard. I'd encourage you to look it up so you get a little bit more ideas about how it works. But I think in these next few days, for me, this metta meditation is going to be extremely important to my capacity to have to be at peace, to have a steady heart. So we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to review some of these ideas and strategies of how to withstand, how to have a steady heart in the face of a great cultural moment of the election. So you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. See you after the break.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into The Energy Paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The Energy Paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
If you struggle with fear and anxiety, you know how powerless and stuck these emotions can make you feel. You've tried everything, but nothing helped you overcome these blocks. Dr. Friedman Schaub, award-winning author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, created a special program which helped thousands of his clients to become healthy, happy, and confident again. Learn how to eliminate negative self-talk, let go of your emotional baggage, and replace limiting beliefs. With Dr. Friedman's accelerated program, you can break through your challenges. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Do you need a makeover on your finances? Do you have more month at the end of your money? Do you wonder where all your money goes? Donat Palmore has been helping people since 2015 gain control of money so they can live out their purpose. If you need help or know someone that does, go to ProverbsFinancialCoaching.com to book your free 30-minute consultation.
Hello, friends. I am Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. Two very important and life-changing words, I am. I have an alphabet game I wanted to share with you today. Start with the letter A and come up with as many positive words as you can think of and place those affirmative I am words before them. For example, I am abundant. Move to the letter B and do the same thing. I am beautiful, and so on. This requires you to actually focus on coming up with positive words and learn to state your affirmations with conviction, validation, and focus. Begin to say them numerous times a day. Learn to say them with feeling and belief, and you will begin to see your confidence, your focus, and your self-worth evolve. Hope you have a beautiful, successful day, and I'll see you next time.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today. We've been talking about preparing ourselves, having and preparing ourselves to continue to have a steady heart during this election season. And I've been talking a little bit about some practical things, material kinds of things that I might do to prepare myself, of thinking about what will help me to stay, to feel healthy and safe and sane during there's a lot of information coming at us, no matter what the outcomes are. If I just think about the press of emails and tweets and things on Facebook and on television, there's just a lot coming at us, and we can manage some of that input, but also it helps just to have a steady heart. So in these next few days, I really encourage you to think about your habits, the ones that help you to stay feeling good about yourself and have a steady heart, whether it's getting enough sleep or what you're feeding yourself, both your mind and your body. My meditation practice I'm committed to. My walking practice I'm committed to. To home cooking, I'm committed to, and managing my intake of news. If I've already voted, maybe I don't need a lot more information from external sources. And then finally, to notice if what your sticking points are. For me, it is that loop in my head sometimes about people I love, maybe, or don't even know, but with whom I deeply disagree. And so I've recommended learning more about metta meditation, M-E-T-T-A. And someone like Sharon Salzberg is a great teacher on this topic, someone whose work you might want to look at to learn more about it. But it's a concentration meditation of loving kindness, first towards the self, then towards a beloved other, then towards a neutral other, then towards someone with whom you have difficulty, and then towards all beings everywhere without distinction. And to have a phrase in your head or a series of phrases, positive phrases such as, may you be at peace, may you be well, may you know love, may you know kindness, but I really tend to focus on, may you know peace and may you be well, because it's simple and I can remember it. It is difficult to do towards the self in particular, I find, because we have a tendency to start to argue with ourselves and be distracted immediately. And so the goal is to just keep coming back to the phrase, may you know peace. And then with someone with whom I have difficulty, the challenge of not being distracted immediately by the source of that difficulty, particularly in this season around political differences. It is not a way of agreeing with someone. It is not a way of saying that somebody else's point of view is okay, right? I don't necessarily think that other people, that not every point of view is okay in my mind. But that said, that so what, in a sense, because my disagreement with them, unless I can have an actual constructive conversation, if it's just what's happening in my head, that produces turmoil in me. It gives me anything but a steady heart. And instead, I want to be at peace. I deserve to be at peace. It's okay for me to be at peace. I'm allowed, even in this incredibly difficult political season, to be at peace. I am allowed to be at peace. I think sometimes we think that if we're at peace, it's as though we're not paying attention, that we don't care enough, that if we're not upset and angry, that it suggests that we don't care enough. But for me, I just simply think that's not true. I care very deeply, but my inner turmoil doesn't improve any situation in the world. I want to be a force for peace. So that's what we've been talking about, and I hope you will think about those things. I also have this quote I want to share with you in a general sense, but I think it speaks to this moment as well, from a woman on Twitter whose Twitter handle is I am Kira J. And she says, you all beaten yourself up about the mistakes you've made in the past as if you've been here twice or something. I love that. Y'all be beating yourself up about the mistakes you've made in the past as if you've been here twice or something. This is your first time living this life. Give yourself some grace as you've learned to navigate through it. You don't know what you don't know till you know better. That's the most beautiful thing. You don't know what you don't know till you know better. So maybe three more deep breaths. Pay attention to the breath. Pay attention to the tension. Set your intention for the next hour. If you'd like to learn more about my work as a life and communication coach, please visit my website. It's mcguirelifecoach.com, or you can email me at maryangelamcguire@gmail.com. So either my website, mcguirelifecoach.com, or maryangelamcguire@gmail.com. The first conversation is always on the house, and we'll talk about what you'd like to achieve through coaching, and I'll describe the inquiry method that I use with clients, and then we'll have a short session so that you can determine if working with me will serve your needs. You can visit my website again at McGuire Life Coach or email me at maryangelamcguire@gmail. I hope you'll join me next Thursday. You won't be surprised to learn that we're going to talk about the election. What we're really going to do, though, is we're going to debrief. And my friend Craig Gingrich-Philbrook has generously and graciously agreed to join me. We don't know what we're going to talk about because we don't know what's going to happen, do we? And so we're just going to talk about our experience. And so here's what I would love for you to do if you have time. On my Facebook page, if you would, maybe on Wednesday or Thursday, post something. Tell me what you're thinking about. I'm going to put a post out there. And if you would respond to it and just say, here's how I'm feeling. Here's what I'm doing to take care of myself. Here's how this is working out for me. We would love to hear your responses and share some of them on the show then. And we're going to debrief our own experience as in the context of our own mindfulness journey. So until next week, I hope that you will stay curious about your mind, and I hope that you will be kind to yourself. And I thank you so much for listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Have a great day. You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Maryangela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, mcguirelifecoach.com. That's mcguirelifecoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.